BlakeRadio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect. And damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings.
You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Stoke.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Awesome Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Master. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults. And obviously, I am the only adult here.
Spug.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace.
I hate this idea that you're the best. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Sorry about your damn luck.
I'm a creek swimming, moonshine sipping, deer skinning, beer drinking, Johnny Cash listening. Longnecks and rednecks are my friends. Wind, money, whiskey make a perfect blend.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Yes, I am Mace. I am off of work once again because I am sick, and that's not just because we've just watched a TNA pay-per-view. That could also be a cause of why I am still feeling like shit. With me tonight, we have Alan. Want to get out of this pay-per-view?
Oh, my God. And I actually have someone else. These guys actually watch the pay-per-view, so I don't have to carry the opening segment. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're still carrying it.
Oh, okay.
And also joining us from the rack, the person who wonders why the hell Sting got off the carnival ride one step too early, Lindsay Ward.
That was 2 hours of my life I'm never going to get back.
Three.
Oh, God, it was just three.
Yes, it was three. Welcome to one monthly thing.
Where the hell did that other hour go? Crap.
It's the time zone change. You lost it.
I guess so. Either
go
way,
that's
time I'm never going to get back. Somebody go find me James Storm because he has alcohol and I need it.
That could be.
I know where James is right about now.
Yeah, that could be one of the reasons why he wasn't out there to help Sting and Dixie Carter. He was probably too busy drinking.
He's under the bar already. That's impressive.
Dear God, we'll get to that. We'll murder this pay-per-view as we go along, fans.
This pay-per-view is holding us hostage, just like the opening segment of the show. Bully Ray held TNA Victor Road hostage until he got what he wanted, and that was a shot at the number one contendership. James Storm's number one contendership.
Yeah, you ain't getting that, sorry.
This was probably the only match on the entire pay-per-view that I was excited to see. And it was the opening segment, and it lasted 5 seconds. The promo was longer than the goddamn match.
This was a repeat of the night that he beat Kurt Angle to get the championship, and it proved what I've always said about Storm as a single. And this goes way back to even before America's Most Wanted, when he was a Tennessee Cowboy, James Storm, and he was working for Burr Prentice and USA Championship Wrestling. You need to watch out for the last call. He hits that super kick. It's as deadly as Shawn Michaels. It's as deadly as Matt Bentley on his best day. And it opened hot. And I joked around on Twitter and on Facebook. I said, great. and now it goes downhill from here. At least we had one more match between it going downhill in there, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
We'll get there, don't worry.
Oh yeah, we'll get there. I'm sharpening the knife as we speak for Dixie Carter.
Lord. If you would like to give us your thoughts, call in 267-297-1397. You can give us your thoughts on TNA Victory Road if you saw the pay-per-view. And by the sounds of Twitter, everyone was watching it because there was a lot of things trending on Twitter.
Yeah, the other thing real quick before you move past this match was also designed really well because it protected Storm. He's had numerous injuries coming into this. I think he had bone spurs in an ankle or an elbow or one of those areas. So
ankle.
Nice of TNA to actually protect one of their own as opposed to sending somebody out there with a concussion. Which they've done in the past.
I was going to say, didn't Storm have surgery in the last couple weeks?
Monday.
So it was kind of surprising to see him out there working, but bravo to him for carrying through, even if it was a short match. But yeah, I mean, it's the only reason I would have watched this was for that match, and it's like, okay, it's done.
You're looking at your watch going, all right, cool. Walking Dead starts when?
Isn't it? Yeah, it's like, shit.
Still catch the last minutes of that basketball game. We were Hitchcock State still in my bracket.
GCB starts when? What?
What? James Storm kept his number one contendership and is heading to lockdown to challenge for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. We'll tell you where Slammiversary is headed. In a little bit. We'll get there. But up next is the X Division Championship match, Austin Aries versus Zema Ion. I know this is where Mace finally rolled out of bed and started watching the show.
No, this is where I actually got back from the shops buying lunch.
Mace had his can of hairspray out and said, I'm ready, bitches, let's go.
Please, I don't have that much hair.
Neither does A double.
Mind you, my Asian friend at work, I swear he could probably go toe-to-toe with Zema Ion for the afro.
What was up with his hair?
He looked like he stuck his finger in a light socket.
He's been doing that for the last couple months, and it's weird because Shima Zion, the real character that's been on the indies for the longest while, and then TNA signed him, has always been the first Filipino male model, and you're just kind of going, okay, it was Omega that said he looks like something out of a Dragon Ball, Dragon Hole, Dragon something anime thing. Thank you. Yeah. Sure, once again, showing my non-geek cred, even though never been in question, but,
You're the movie reference guy, it's okay.
Yeah, this was interesting because you had heel here, even though the fans have kind of embraced A double recently. With the arrogance that he's got, and I think they've kind of gone along with the storyline of he, in quotes, hurt Jesse Sorensen, who I'm waiting for Sorensen's mom to get signed on the roster. I'm sure Dixie will follow the Marcus Bagwell theory back in the day, but I love this match. I want to see these two go at it in lockdown or have a lethal, the hell was the thing they did a few times? The escape match. Put all the X Division guys in there against A double and let's see who comes out of here ahead.
He'll just fly out with his cape.
That cape is cool. I don't care what Taz says.
Hey, Taz gives good fashion advice. If we learn anything tonight, that's it.
All I know is it freaked me out when Zema Ion undid his pants and started reaching down in them, because it's like, what the crap is he doing? I mean, I've never seen him before, so it's like, are they masturbating now on live television? I mean, did I miss something here?
If any Roo is still in charge, you never know.
You never know, but I will say this, I like this version of Aries better than when he was in the company back in 04 or 05, I think it was.
Oh, the Austin Star.
Yes. Yes. I like this version better than that one.
You're not alone. When we interviewed him on KFIV Wrestling Radio, he even said that he was hoping eventually to go back there and do it all over again. And it was weird the first time he came in because people were, I was going like, okay, you're the former ROH world champion and this is what I'm getting instead. I'd still like to see him get into the heavyweight for some reason here in TNA. I'd love to see it, but right now this X Division role works. I'd love to see him against Styles or Daniels or Kazarian. I'm sure they've done it in other promotions, but I'd love to see it here in TNA.
Yeah, that would have been a good mix.
You can still do it. They're not locking anybody out of the... Yeah, but then now there's this whole weight limit bull crap that they put on the division, so who knows.
I
think most of those guys can still fit into that weight class.
Hey, if Matt Hardy could make cruiserweight, weight anybody can, bro.
Exactly. And if you miss Matt Hardy, check out the archives at WildTalkRadio.com. We had a nice interview with him this past Tuesday night, so go to WildTalkRadio.com in the archive section, and you can take a listen to that interview after the show is all said and done.
Don't do it right now. That would be a little awkward.
I know. It would be a little awkward, because we're talking about
TNA. Go now. At half an hour, we should be done with my interview by then, so if I can listen to the interview, come back. We'll be on the stuff you want to listen to, okay?
He was here for you. He did 45 minutes, and J.J. Dillon did 45 minutes. It was a pretty awesome night.
Yes, and you mentioned Austin Aries going to main events. That sort of was the promo before the match between him, Eric Bischoff, and Jeremy Borash.
I want to smack Eazy-E around, dude. Jesus.
Playing up the Facebook. On the
show. Oh, God. World trending worldwide. Eric Bischoff, you're an idiot.
Why is he still with them?
Because he's got a production deal. Him and Herbie have a production deal, even though they're not doing TNA Reaction anymore. They're still involved. I don't think he's on creative right now. I think that's Bruce Pritchard, Conway, and Lagana rumored.
It's Bischoff and Pritchard as the top heads. And
oh, so he did slide in there.
As a producer, but he's one that, you know, everything goes through him still at the end of the day. He's one of the top heads of the company.
Goody for us.
Yeah, I know. Moving on, he says.
That explains so much.
I know. Moving on, tag team titles were on the line. Magnus and Samoa Joe take on Matt Morgan and Crimson.
Who did not see this one coming, kids? And Lindsay's brand new to watching TNA, and even she was probably sitting there going, the Goldberg-looking dude's going to go heel.
No, I'm not new to watching TNA. It's just been a long time since I've watched TNA.
That's
but,
what I meant,
yeah. But yeah, you're sitting there, and I was talking to everybody in the chat, and it's like, this seems really kind of slapped together, and you would think that these are just really two random teams, but something's going to happen.
Yeah, I've said it in the last couple months on here, and Mace may back me up, may not. I, at first, did not like Joe and Magnus when they did the Lethal Lottery type thing, but they've really grown on me. I kind of like them. You know, if you're not going to do anything with Joe, this is the best you can do. I don't have a problem with it. You could see this heel turn coming about five blocks back on the right side. And it was funny. I was at one of the nights I stopped by here. I had come from the Ring of Honor 10th anniversary show with, Kevin Scott. And when Amazing Red hit the ring, the group that we were sitting with started to chant Crimson Sucks. And I was laughing about it. It's like, yeah, he sucks. So now I guess we get Goldberg-like stuff going again. Because apparently he's never been pinned, even in the tag team losses that they've had. I was like, don't those kind of count as losses, even if you're not pinned?
Nope, he's never been pinned in TNA wrestling.
Oh, dear God.
He always wins.
Of course.
He's a winner.
He's a freaking whiner at some point. God.
Mace, your thoughts?
Derpty derpty doo.
I will say
trending
this.
Trending worldwide on Twitter, thank you.
It's pretty much one of these things. Yes, we put them together in terms of Morgan and Crimson. We put them together after they've feuded. Give them the tag titles. Give them a tag title run. The second they lose the belt, split them up!
So they're doing WWE booking now?
They've been doing this for years. TNA's been doing this for years, sticking random people together. Go all the way back to 02 when they threw AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn together and had them feuding over the X Division title. And oh, by the way, you're the World Tag Team Champions, kids. Have fun.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
They did it with AJ and D'Lo, I think, for a little while there when D'Lo was in as a wrestler before he became an agent. TNA's done this so damn long. I break out the DVDs every so often to 05-06 and go, look, tag team wrestling! And I actually tweeted Kevin Sullivan, the producer, about the Motor City Machine Gun thing, the thing they played. I was like, that was nice, dude.
That made me excited to see. It's like, oh, thank you, God, the Guns are finally coming back. They've been gone for, what, a year now?
Yep.
At least Saban, I think, had total reconstructive stuff done. Shelley's been back, and it's just, I hope if Saban comes back, he comes back as close to what he was. I know knee injuries are not the most fun to come back from people I know that are athletes, so hopefully they bring the Guns back in right and don't bury them, which could be happening.
How can they bring them back in right? There are no other tag teams for them to go up against.
Oh, I'm sure we could throw somebody together to get the Robbies to job to people, right, Mace?
They need to job to a loser leaves town.
They'll just start jobbing. Sorry, go ahead.
You're fine.
I was going to say, just start jobbing Joe again. They seem to be really good at that.
Hashtag, where is Joe's career?
Where is Joe's waistline? That thing has exploded. Good God.
He's not as bad as he was when the ninjas kidnapped him.
Yeah, that was terrible. We never did find out who captured him, though, and where they took him. Anyway, moving on, we had a Bobby Roode, James Storm promo in the back. Kind of made you want to see that match a little bit. Or am I the only one who wants to see that match?
I wanted to see that this damn month. I don't want to watch what we watched in the main, but I'm jumping ahead.
No. King Kittens, no. No, 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 no. Never. Hashtag Garrett for champ, no.
No, Kid Bischoff needs to go away.
But we'll have news about
God.
Kid, about him later on in the show. Don't worry. I got some news.
Oh.
Anyway, open challenge for the TV title. You know, anyone, you know, all the wrestlers in the back, they're all taken, so he's going to challenge fans, and then he just drags the show along. This took, like, 5 minutes too long, and then D-Von shows up.
Should have been Omega. Why wasn't Omega in the crowd?
I'm only 2 hours away. I could have probably gotten there by the time Robbie E got done with that damn promo. I was like, what the crap, dude? And the funny part is, I jokingly mentioned, what, none of the Team 3D Academy kids were around, and then all of a sudden here comes D-Von down the frickin' ramp out of the crowd.
Yeah, he came down, and in about like 2 minutes, became the new television champion.
Awesome.
Now the big question is, will he actually be on TV?
Hey, why not? Desmond Wolfe is the commissioner of Explosion that nobody sees in the United States. What else is new?
Anyway, at this point we had a special interview with TNA Dixie Carter, and she announces that they're going to Arlington, Dallas, I think it was. Somewhere in Dallas, the University of Texas or Dallas or something. I don't know. They're going to Dallas, Texas for Slammiversary.
What a worst place. Go where people frickin' know your stuff. And as Lindsay had said, you know, why aren't they in Nashville?
There's people that know their stuff.
Well, obviously, you know, Nashville would have been the first choice, but as with people already know, lockdown is going
to
be there.
Why couldn't they have just gone back to the UK? They should just go back to the UK and stay there.
Spoke joked around with the WWE stuff, like with the original Survivor Series anniversary, they didn't go back to Richfield, or they're not going back. Why not just go to Huntsville, Alabama, where TNA Day 1 took place in June of 2002? Could have gone to Detroit, where they did Bound for Glory the night that Sting beat Jarrett, and Jarrett went home for the right reasons, which was his wife's health. Could have gone, I don't know, New York. You went back, you had a nice one in Jersey, a couple pay-per-view there, but Texas?
They're going to College Park Center in Arlington, Texas. Tickets on sale Friday, April 20th. So, and they start as low as $15. So, get your tickets now.
We'll wait until the day and get them for free.
Yeah. They have a habit for giving out their tickets for free. So anyway. Moving on to what also kind of killed the crowd, the Knockouts title, Gail Kim, Madison Rayne.
I think they were pissed off that they weren't getting a pay-per-view, because that's happened to that audience. The first time they took a pay-per-view out of there, they were pissed.
Their audiences don't do anything.
Oh, and they're used to being told, you cheer here, you boo here, you're extras, your opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah, the guy holding up the signs, it was his time for a coffee break.
Yeah, I don't think the fans gave a crap about this feud from day one. You could have, I mean, you've buried pretty much everybody else again. Winter hasn't been on TV, and God knows when. Angelina Love not on TV. The Velvet Skies being a jobber. Tara and Tessmacher, or who knows where. Sarita Rosita or MIA, since LAX Light went to OVW. This is all you got left. And ODB's getting married, so...
By the way, that's just plain awesome. Eric Young and ODB. That's just downright entertaining.
Love it.
It's awesome. That's the only
one. Why didn't we get that tonight?
Yeah, people think I'm kidding when I say that. No, I love that crap, because EY gets it over so damn well.
I'm waiting to see what kind of dress he wears for the wedding.
Oh, you know he'll pull it off.
I know, that's the thing, he's gonna, she's gonna come down in the tux and he's gonna wear the dress, it's gonna be so much
fun. Damn right.
And then he's gonna strip down to the little bikini and it'll be awesome.
This match was just,
I will say this, it was way better than watching Kelly Kelly versus any of the other divas. With the exception of Beth and Natty, I mean, just, at least they could semi-work, and I was appreciative of that.
They tried their hardest. It was AJ and Nikki Bella on Friday had a terrible match, but this was pretty good. And Gail Kim retained her title in this one. Moving on, because I'm getting through this pay-per-view as fast as I can, possibly.
You ain't kidding, brother.
Kazarian and Daniels team up to take on AJ Styles and Mr. Anderson.
This one of these things is not like the other.
What, the blonde guy? Oh, duh.
Three guys who can really work, and then you have Mr. Anderson.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like the character. He's just not the greatest wrestler in the world.
Yeah, my audio, when I was listening to the show, my TV had major issues tonight. Did they say Anderson got dinged up at a house show? That's what the black eye was from?
I totally wasn't paying attention to the sound.
I thought that's what they said, that he had gotten that. I was like, oh, he didn't get that trying to get through customs at the airport?
He did.
That Orlando airport's brutal.
Yeah, that did look pretty bad, that black eye. And what was up with his shirt?
Yeah, I saw you guys talking about that in the private. We were tweeting about that. It looked like La Parka. It looked like D'Lo Brown's
old gear back from 1998. And what was the other one?
D'Lo Brown was a good one.
An MLB catcher.
Right.
Maybe that's his side job. You know, he came from his other job. He, you know, since spring training's down in Florida, right around there, isn't it? You know, that's his side job. He catches balls for other people.
That's what was going on with AJ Styles. It's just like, what's with the batting gloves, dude? I know they're good. The Astros have spring training in Kissimmee. The Braves have spring training right down the road at Lake Buena Vista. I didn't get the whole bicycle glove thing tonight. This feud is, for ring work, is really great. But storyline wise, Taz and Tanae kind of hit it on the head there without being, you know, without Daniels and Kazarian explaining to AJ why this is just bad. I know, unfortunately, these three are going to end up in the cage at Lockdown in a triple threat thing, which with the three of them, they could wrestle my hockey stick or they could wrestle my cat who's snoring over here and make it look really damn good. The problem is, as Mace likes to say, since MF-er, can you make it out of this booking? If you're going to do something and go like Daniels did prophecy style back in the day, then this works. But this just, I don't get it.
Remember, Russo started the story, so they're probably trying to rework the ending.
I'm sitting there going through Russo's notes going, what the hell did he write here?
What in the world did he come up with? What? No, we gotta change that.
He's gone. Stop blaming Russo.
No, we're saying he came up with the angle. They're probably retrying to
start it. And they're...
That was the point.
Don't forget. Maybe.
Screw it.
First,
you know what?
Live.
next week on Impact, you have Dixie Carter come out, strip all the champions, and reset the entire promotion.
Welcome to WCW.
Maybe, does that mean they're going to have to bring Jarrett back? And Chris Harris? Because if they reset to all the champions, then they're going to have to reset to Jeff Jarrett, AMW, AJ Styles, and everybody else is fucked.
No, if you do the reset button all the way back, you got to have Ken Shamrock as your world champion, Styles and Jerry Lynn as your tag champs, and AJ as your ex-champ, and that's not going to happen. Hit the rewind all the way back to 04. Ken Shamrock is world champ. Ain't looking too bad.
Except so, he's retired now, which sucks.
Anyway, AJ Styles and Mr. Anderson won the matchup. I don't know where that leads the story, but we'll find out on Impact on Thursday night. Then we had a goofy Kurt Angle promo.
Yeah.
Mace surprised wanted to shut it off at that time. He wanted to go, mute! Where's the mute button? Mute! Shut up, Kurt. Anyway, we then had a really long match between Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle. He did make his way to the ring perfectly fine this year.
We were impressed.
Yeah, and this is where my cable system totally crapped out. Because, fortunately, my wife was taping The Walking Dead, and then something else she was taping kicked in at the same time.
You gotta give more than one DVR.
Yeah, the other DVR is in the other room. Didn't exactly help me matters-wise. I came back, and it was all of a sudden, I was like, what do you mean it's over?
What do you think
I spent my time watching YouTube clips of a Skyrim mod called Exploding Chickens.
I went to Sonic to get a blast.
As you can see, we're all very excited to watch this match.
I was actually sitting there going, look, this match has already gone longer than this entire time in last year's Victory Road.
By like 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
And it only cost you $4.99 to get that information.
Thank you very much.
We're here all week. For free.
Yes. Try the veal. We got it from China.
Oh! That was wrong. That was so wrong.
You want wrong? I can always redo last week's jokes.
No. 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 Anyway. Kurt Angle with a roll-up and got the victory as he held the ropes. As the referee counted the pin, Kurt Angle beats Jeff Hardy.
Thank God.
All to show his kid that hit daddy is better than the guy that his kids like.
Yeah, that's...
That was the whole reason for this.
I know.
My kid likes Jeff Hardy, so I must kick Jeff Hardy's ass. I heard the worst reasons that we had two guys fighting over a Japanese shampoo commercial one.
I was just about to make that reference. But, yeah, I hope they just don't bring Kurt Angle's kid on Impact on Thursday. Please.
On a pole.
You know they will.
He'll wrestle Kid Bischoff.
We'll talk about that later. Then we had our main event. Sting, Bobby Roode. No holds barred.
Bull crap, no holds barred. Good lord. For a match that was no holds barred? I've seen the kids at my daughter's daycare be no more holds barred than this match. They say the no holds barred for after the damn bell.
Pretty much. There's not much to say about this match. It was crap.
Yeah.
I thought that I'm sitting there going, tell me that was a botch ending.
No. Sting hit the scorpion, tripped death drop, slammed his own head in the chair, and then Bobby Roode covered him.
I'm just like, you got it. And I'm figuring, okay, cool. Here comes James Storm. Storm's going to run out. I want my title shot now, Money in the Bank style, and we go home happy. And instead I got that.
Never go home happy.
Somebody needs to teach Dixie Carter how to act. I'm sorry. If you're going to be on TV, at least Vince McMahon can act. Okay, I'm sorry. He may be able to just be a dick, but at least he's good at it. She needs to either get off TV, learn how to act, or something else. I don't know, but that was awful.
The whole thing is... And I'm someone who's watched TNA day one, was in attendance June 19, 2002. And until they brought her on TV, it was fun. I loved every second of it. And, you know, you had her on, and she was off. And then Mama Carter got involved and said, no, you're not involved anymore. And now she's back. It's like, oh, my God.
Dixie needs to go and talk to our good friend Amy Lee and get some character building lessons.
Oh my God! What did this ending do? This ending did jack crap to move you forward to lockdown, which should have been the thing.
You know what it did, Alan? It ended the goddamn pay per view.
We are grateful for it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This whole event felt like one big WCW Clash of Champions. None of these matches, and I'm sure there's people wanting to tweet, my name is Wojcik, or email me at mynameiswojcik@gmail.com, and going, well, you're pissed because TNA doesn't let you cover them anymore. No, I'm not one bit. I love the product. I praise the product, and when it sucks, I'll let you know it sucked. This show sucked. This show was absolutely horrible. And I joked with Mace at one point when we were talking away. I said it was actually during the tag match before Hardy's face paint-o-rama. This is why WWE doesn't do a March pay-per-view. Because watching this whole thing, I'm sitting there going, can we please, for the love of God, get to Akapuki and lockdown?
Just so everyone knows what happened, Bobby Roode brought Dixie Carter in the ring. Shoved her around a little bit, tied Sting up with duct tape in the corner, shoved her around a little bit more, wiped paint on her face, and, you know, trying to build heat there, but that's going to sell pay-per-view heat between Bobby Roode and Dixie Carter.
Why didn't Jessica Havoc just do a run-in from she was in Nashville, she could have driven down and said, no, dude, this is how you do it, and this is my machete move. I'll show you how to do it, right?
If Jess did that, I would be so disappointed in her. Why degrade yourself by putting yourself on TNA television?
She doesn't
go
want
and rule WSU with an iron fist.
I'm sorry. When the show's great, I'm going to tell you it was great, listeners. When the show sucks, I'm going to tell you it sucked. And I'll repeat this on Tuesday night on KFM Boston Radio. This pay-per-view sucked. I wish Russo was back. Because he may have done, yeah, I know, but I don't think Vinny Roo would have done this. I may email a couple questions into the You Shoot Live on June 1st and ask him. What the hell? As I said, the idea is to move from one pay-per-view to the next. This made me miss the weekly two-hour pay-per-views from Nashville. Because at least there, on those, there was logic. There was no logic whatsoever. And you would have think in the Logic Police, and I know Mace is going to smack me for this going as a logic in TNA, you would think all the times, Dixie, that you've been near ringside on certain things, you know, they even mentioned that the dude sitting next to her was some guy from a repossession show. You would think he would have done something. Brooke Hogan, who interfered in almost interfered in Robbie E's deal, or whatever match she almost interfered with, I expected her to jump the guardrail at some point. Anybody. The entire frickin' locker room sat there in a storyline sense and let the world champ assault the quote-unquote owner of the company. That's brilliant. Absolute brilliant logic, guys.
You know what the repo guy was thinking? How the hell am I going to get that ring into my truck in a couple of weeks?
He'll just auction it off like on Storage Wars. Piece by piece, you know. They won't worry about it.
You'd be surprised. A company's out-of-work company's ring goes pretty cheap. I got a friend who picked up one of the old WCW rings for about, it was about
$1,500.
That was shipped from the States to Australia. So that goes to show you the ring was cheap.
I'm not sure who Kane's Kittens is in your chat room, but she's saying that Impact builds towards pay-per-views right now. Even Impact doesn't. They announced matches week before. This pay-per-view was actually booked out pretty well over the last few weeks. The problem is, once you got there, it seemed like they had no clue what to do. I can already tell you, going into lockdown, you obviously know you're going to see Crimson versus Matt Morgan in the cage. You know you're probably going to get something with the X Division champ in the cage. You know Storm and Roode are going to be there, and that promo they did was really well done. Mm-hmm. But to watch week to week,
you got to remember, Alan. Though you spend your Impact's building towards the pay per view. You use the pay per view to build up to the next week's Impact.
Not the next pay per view.
No. Because nine-tenths of what we saw tonight, you'll see next week on Impact for free, if you haven't seen it previously on Impact for free anyway. I'm looking at you, Aries and Zima Ion.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Anyway, Lindsay, this is your first pay-per-view in a while overall?
It started out well, even though I understand Storm was hurt. So, Storm and Bubba Ray, Bully Ray, whatever the hell you want to call him, started out well. It got you interested. It's like, okay, this could be pretty decent. Aries versus Ion was good. And then it kind of just started rolling downhill from there. And by the end of it, it's like, oh dear God, please shoot me. Please shoot me. I was talking to Jackie on Skype while watching this, and I'm like, oh my God, why the fuck isn't this over yet? Seriously, why? Why? And yeah, I could have done without the whole Dixie Carter segment. Again, learn how to act, and to Bobby Roode, if you're going to quote-unquote assault her, go all the way or don't do it all. I'm sorry.
Mace.
Save us, CM Punk. Oh, wait, wrong product.
Positives. They're building up James Storm. Positives. Austin Aries is a solid X Division champion. Positive, Samoa Joe is working back in the shape.
Positive, it's now over. We don't have to cover it anymore. Go to commercial, please.
Yes. Positive, Garrett Bischoff wasn't on this pay-per-view.
There you go.
Hey.
But he will be main eventing next month's pay-per-view.
Co.
Some believe that he's the main event. Brother.
Yeah, sister.
With that being said, this is WTR Sunday Night. We'll be right back. We're going to come to cover the latest in the WWE on the other side of this break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
When one advertises The Rack with Jackie and Lindsay, they would tend to rely on cheap jokes about the female mammary glands. I, being someone of class and breeding of kittens, am going to challenge myself to go through this whole commercial without making such lowbrow jokes. So here we go. The Ruck is a show about two lovely cane kitten-wanting women named Jackie Feist and Lindsay Ward, both of whom have recently joined the Wild Talk Radio Network to give the female perspective about the world of professional wrestling. Wait a cotton pick a minute here. Another wrestling show? Don't we have anything else to talk about on this goddamn network? Can't someone around here come up with a fresh, new, and different idea? Seriously, it can't be that hard. You know, I'll come up with one right now. Two geeks get together to interview large bosom ladies at gaming conventions. An already large lady talks to people about her experience getting breast implants. A bosom race of bosom women talk about their taking their bosom ship to the planet Bosom. Watermelons, fun bags, busts, milk factories, knockers, jugs, nipples, jubblies, stonking great tits. Well, that challenge was a bust. But that doesn't mean the Rack is on a great show that happens Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. Big ass boobies.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
What
is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
Looking for an excuse to be home on a Saturday night? Then tune in Saturday nights at midnight-ish Eastern Time for CB Radio.
Tweet your friends right on their wall. Spread the word for a can't-miss moment. See, this is power. This voice, this is power. In anybody else's hands, this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb. A moment you won't forget. Don't miss out.
On March 24th, the truth gets told. The pipe bomb gets dropped. Tune in. It's your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night. It's CB Radio. Or in other words, it's just another jerking off podcast, right?
A moment you won't forget. Don't miss out.
Tune in Saturday nights at midnight-ish Eastern Time for CB Radio.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Welcome back to your home of... Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. There is no Tim Stein, there is no Spug, there is no Omega, but we have Alan Wojcik, Mace, and Lindsay Ward.
It could be a Spug if you picked up the fucking phone.
I wasn't here. I missed his call.
Oh, bummer.
So if he wants to call back, he can call back. I saw that he called when I was getting something to drink. In any event...
Speaking of drinking.
Speaking of drinking, Chris Jericho gets personal this week on Monday Night Raw. Thoughts? We'll start with you, Alan.
Yeah, didn't they do this in ROH?
I'm not the ROH expert. Mace would have a better idea than I would.
I vaguely remember seeing videos, and maybe it was Punk doing a post-match promo at Cabana about him referencing the family back issues of alcohol and whatnot. Because I remember, I've ribbed Carino about it every so often, the match he had with Punk, I think it was like an 04, where he had Bobby Cruz rattle off all the great wrestlers who had some drinking and substance abuse problems, and then Punk handed a list to Steven DeAngelis, and DeAngelis ran off all the drugs and stuff that CM Punk has never taken. So it's just like, okay, it's different. Hey, there's a caller. Look at that.
We'll get to the caller. Mace, what was your take on the knowledge that was dropped on Monday Night Raw?
I can tell you what, it's a good thing that Punk would have agreed to this early, because if this was something that Jericho had drug up on his own, I tell you what, Punk wouldn't have been standing in the ring pushing away tears. He'd be running backstage to find Jericho and kicking his balls right up into his throat. It seemed like a very, very low blow to me. But hey, they agree beforehand for this type of stuff, so good on them. It brings a bit more intensity into the rivalry.
What do you think about it, Spug?
I don't think it's any worse than Tommy Dreamer and Raven pouring beer down his throat at ROH in 05 after the dog collar match with Raven and Punk. And it really, it's Jericho. It's Jericho and Punk. So the real wrestling fan already knows that they're going to raise the stakes and make it something that people want to watch, because you have Rock and Cena, mm-hmm. which is Rock and Cena, so they really don't need to do anything because of the two names. You have Undertaker and Triple H in a Hell in a Cell with HBK. You don't really need to do anything because that's going to sell itself. So the world title match is going to, the company's title match has to work extra hard to sell itself because of what it's going up against on that card.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the two individuals in Punk and Jericho, you know they're going to work their ass off for it. So doing stuff like they're doing really, you know, just makes it that much bigger.
Let me ask you this, Lindsay. Do you think this was the, I don't know, progression the feud needed, this next step up?
I think so. It added another level to it, where it's not just about, you know, who's the best in the world anymore, because it seemed a little silly. It's now added that personal touch to it that I think it needed. I mean, the promo itself was a little awkward, and it came off a little weird, but the aftermath to it has been fantastic, and it has made you just want to see it that much more. It's like, okay, well, what are they going to do on Raw this week? What are they going to do on Raw next week? What are they going to do at Mania? It's helping to sell it really well.
I think the promo was meant to feel that way, to be honest with you. I mean, you're not wrong by saying that, Lindsay, not at all. It really did feel awkward. That promo felt entirely awkward, but I think it was meant to feel that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as a fan, when you're sitting there watching it, you're just, it's kind of like being somewhere and somebody says something that they're really not supposed to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it buzz kills the entire mood of everybody there. Like, that promo just killed the arena Monday night. Done.
It's like one of those situations where you're talking to somebody, you say something really embarrassing, and the music is just cut off, and everybody just heard what you said.
Right.
And yep. There's that moment of stunned silence that people go, wow, that did not just happen.
Hey, I pee my pants. Wait, what? Not everybody was supposed to hear that.
What's your take? Is this, Alan, what is your take?
like I said, I was into this match already because of who it is. Mm-hmm. As, you know, it's hard for, you want me to think as a fan? As a fan, I was sitting there going, okay, low blow, boom. You definitely hit it. As someone who's met CM Punk a few times and heard backstage stories about CM Punk, the Colt Cabana will never confirm. Alcohol has met the lips of Mr. Brooks. So, who cares? But I kind of agree with the aspect of you've got to sell this match, and maybe to someone like Lindsay, the idea of, well, I'm the best in the world. No, well, I'm the best in the world wasn't doing it, so maybe this is that little extra kick in the ass to go, okay, now you can fight over, well, you drink. Well, no, you drink. No, you drink.
All right.
Maybe referee by Stone Cold Steve Austin as a drinking aspect.
Well, I'm gonna bump in a little bit here and say this. I agree with Lindsay on the fact that they needed more than just the best in the world thing to sell this match, because it was, doing that was only going to sell it to the smart marks and the individuals who watch ROH for like 7 super kicks. So, they really needed to do something. The unfortunate thing was, is the way they're doing it with the whole, you know, they're going back to the, your father was an alcoholic, that's why you're straight edge. It works. It adds a personal touch to it. It delves a little bit into the CM Punk character. But the other thing that really bothers me about it is it's so contrived and convoluted, because every time they really want to do something with Punk, what do? They go to the fact that he doesn't drink and he doesn't do drugs.
Yeah, and 1 week he's a heel because of it, and the next week he's a face because of it.
Right.
Now apparently being a vegan is bad.
I like what they're doing with Daniel Bryan and the whole vegan thing, because he's playing the, everybody has met the obnoxious I'm better than you vegan. Everybody's met one of those. Mm-hmm. And everybody hates that individual.
Kind of tying the Jericho stuff in to another topic we're going to talk about tonight, with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, do you think that WWE has dropped the ball with Jericho and CM Punk and put it like, okay, they've had them go at it a little bit, they've had one promo really together, have they dropped the ball trying to push this match as one of the featured matches of WrestleMania?
No.
Not
They've
one
been
bit.
Playing pass to parcel. If you notice, over the last few weeks, there seems to be, you know, Rock Cena had a go to hype up their match. The following couple of times, it was Triple H and Undertaker. Now you've got Jericho and Cena, Punk, doing their stuff. They're building up progressively those three matches. They're giving each one an actual bit of time to actually build each feud instead of going, here's your focus. No, we want you to focus on these three. Which makes them mean a bit more. Makes you want to buy the pay-per-view to see them.
I will say this. They don't need to hype up HBK or Triple H versus Undertaker anymore. They don't. Because you have the gimmick. You have your special referee. You have everything in that match. And now you're running dangerously close to overbooking your card.
Well, they got 8 matches right now. I don't think they're going to go any further.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
That's not what I'm talking about. If you put that match, the Triple H match, on next to last, followed by Rock Cena, you're going to completely waste anything you've done with Rock and Cena. Because if you have to put that the Undertaker match either earlier in the card, or you have to put Rock Cena earlier in the card. That's the only way this card's going to work with two mega matches like that.
The talk is to have The Undertaker and Triple H in the middle of the show.
See, that would be, that'd be perfect. That would be, if that's your intermission main event, if that's your intermission main event, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
The logistics with that cage, they've still got to figure that craziness out.
Dude, Alan, I'm going to say this again to you, and I hope this time it sinks in. They wouldn't have even built it as a Hell in a Cell if they didn't already have the logistics worked out. They wouldn't. They wouldn't have built it as a Hell in a Cell if they didn't already know how they were going to get that cage up and down off the ring. But we all know how Vince operates.
He has a point right there. But I want to tie this in now to Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. Have they dropped the ball with this match?
That I will say yes. I will say yes because it's a great... I think they should play up the fact that it was... they were supposed to face each other for the U.S. title last year, and they dropped the ball. Or they, you're, ended up being a dark match, which ended up being turned into a battle royal, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they've made no mention of that. And I think they really should. I think Daniel Bryan really should. I think you should say, this company's never respected me. That he, you know, I was supposed to, and whatever promo he can cut and do it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Lindsay? Have they dropped the ball with this match?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, they've been, obviously, you know, as far as the matches go, where they stand. I mean, Cena, Rock, Taker, Triple H, and Punk, Jericho are their three big main events. Those are the ones they care about. Daniel Bryan and Sheamus is, they're basically having it because they had Sheamus win the Royal Rumble and Daniel Bryan still got the belt, which is shocking. So it's like, okay, well, we have to have the World Heavyweight title defended. We're going to do this. We're going to throw it together, and we're really not going to do anything. I mean, it's just, it feels like they could have done so much more with this and built this so much better, and they've just, they haven't. It's basically, okay, here you go. Here's your match. That's all we're going to do.
Alan, do you have a take?
Not really.
Not really? Not really. What about you, Mace?
To quote Daniel Bryan, yes! 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 They definitely dropped the ball on this one.
They've done...
If the ball was a Nokia 3210, there'd be a fucking crater in the ground. And that, I'm good.
They've done more to build his character than they have for this matchup, at least.
Yeah.
They've spent more time building Team Laryngitis and Team Teddy than they have the world title.
Which
is unfortunate, but I will say this. As far as the Daniel Bryan Sheamus match goes, they must think something of Daniel Bryan and of Sheamus from last year to this year to not even put them on the card to make them a world title match.
Is it thinking highly of them, or they have had no other options at this point?
I'd say it's a whole heap of coincidences that's lined up in a situation that they can't get out of.
Might be part of it, but I do think they could. I do think that they honestly could have done something about it long ago. It seemed to me like a lot for the longest time, even before he got hurt, the hot hand. Going into the Rumble and coming out of the Rumble and going into Mania with Wade Barrett versus Randy Orton, and that would have been a phenomenal title match, but they didn't do anything to get Randy Orton closer to the title. They kept him away from it, and it seemed to be that they were setting up for Randy Orton versus Wade Barrett at WrestleMania. It was just a grudge match, and so WWE had plenty of opportunity to get the belt off of Daniel Bryan and put it on somebody else. WWE had plenty of opportunity to pick another Royal Rumble winner. They went with Sheamus. So, to me, it's they must think something of them to put them in this position, because WWE has done nothing to book themselves out of it.
But when you take a look at it, over the time, the guys that they wanted to put the belt on besides Bryan was Randy Orton, who got injured. They wanted to put on Mark Henry. He was injured. They were left with Daniel Bryan as champion.
As for
Sheamus, just before you counteract Spug, as for Sheamus, there was a story that came out after the Rumble that was an audible. It was supposed to be Jericho taking the Rumble, but because it had gotten out so far in advance and everybody saw it coming, Vince called the audible and said, "Well, put on Sheamus."
I don't even think you had to be a smark or anybody to figure out that Jericho should have won a Rumble, especially coming back. And as far as taking the belt off of Daniel Bryan, they had ample opportunity at the Elimination Chamber.
They had plenty of opportunity.
They could have had Santino as the world champion, which, as awesome as it would have been, I don't know.
Right.
No, I'm not even necessarily meaning Santino, but you had Big Show in there, and you had Barrett was in there, mm-hmm. so you could have put it on Barrett at the time.
Right.
I mean, you have, looking at it, the Raw from a couple of weeks ago where Barrett got hurt and dislocated his elbow, you have to take that out of the equation. Absolutely have to. Because you cannot use that as an excuse of Daniel Bryan and Sheamus going into Mania.
But by that same respect, what do they do when Barrett does get hurt and he's got the belt and they're going to have to take it off of him because he's injured? Who do you stick it on then?
You'd then be taking the world title match out of Mania completely. Run a tournament after Mania.
Yeah, you could do that, or you could run a tournament up to Mania and have the finals at Mania.
But wouldn't that screw up? That would end up screwing over Sheamus. So what would you do with him at that point? Put him in with Punk and Jericho?
What you could have done is you have... Let's book this on the fly real quick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So... We're coming out of the Elimination Chamber. Wade Barrett is now your champion. You have Sheamus, who is your Royal Rumble winner. You go to Raw, which I believe was the week he got hurt was what, 2 weeks after the Elimination Chamber pay per view.
The night after.
Was it the night after?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're 24 hours removed. Wade Barrett gets hurt, dislocates his elbow. We've got a live SmackDown, a live Raw and a live SmackDown coming up the following week. We have Wade Barrett come out on Raw. We have Teddy Long come out because Wade Barrett effectively represents SmackDown. We have Teddy Long come out. He's got to strip Wade Barrett of the title. He does that. That night on the live SmackDown, there is going to be a number one contenders match to determine who's going to be Sheamus' opponent at Mania. You hold the belt vacant till Mania, and you decide your champion at Mania. And I think that would work, because you don't necessarily have to have the belt on somebody. Because remember, the belt, WrestleMania 4? 5?
4.
With the entire tournament. The belt was vacant the entire time. And we're not talking about a whole card. Yeah, we're not talking about a whole card being a tournament. We're talking about one match.
Right.
One match and the belt being vacant for a month. You can live with that. You can book yourself out of that situation.
Just the one point I was wanted to throw out there was, is this the credit of Daniel Bryan and Sheamus staying healthy? They're getting the opportunity to main event while the others have been often injured. Is this WWE recognizing this is our future talent? Let's give them a shot. They've stayed the course. They've stayed healthy. Let's give them a shot with the main event type match.
I will say yes and throw it to Lindsay.
I would say yes and no. And we all know that WWE, or at least Triple H, is high on Sheamus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while they did have him in a low spot for a while, eventually they were going to bring him back up. They think enough of him because they obviously put the belt on him early to keep him around. As for Brian, I think he was in the right place at the right time, and he got damn lucky. Otherwise, I don't think they necessarily would have made him champion, just on the way that they've treated him in the past, just based on what we've seen. But I could be wrong.
Any Mace or Alan have a take?
I would rather have seen DB keep the bank until April 1st and cash in like they were going to.
I don't think they had a choice, though. I really don't.
And honestly, I would rather have Bryan as champion going in. And he's being presented as a legit champion. I think that makes more sense than him shockingly win it at WrestleMania.
And I'm sitting at a 50-50, because as much as they seem to have some sort of faith to put Sheamus and Bryan on the card, you know they're going to be the opener. And when your main event has The Rock in it, I don't think it shows that they have enough faith in the newer crop of guys to carry an event like WrestleMania yet.
But they had Edge and Alberto Del Rio open last year for a world title, so it's, you know, it's not a question that, you know, they throw the world title in up first.
But here's just a point, and I forget who said this to me. I can't remember if it was Rock or if it was Jackie that said this, but being in the opener for WrestleMania isn't necessarily a bad place to be, because you set the pace for the rest of the show.
Right.
And they could go out there and they could completely tear the house down and walk backstage and look at everybody else and be like, follow that.
Yes.
So you really, that gives them a better opportunity to showcase their skills and have the crowd while it's fresh, while it's excited and hot, and set the pace for everybody else. So if they open the show, I don't necessarily think that would be a bad thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, it also means if the show's going to run long or something like that, they might end up bumping it back down to the dark match. First ever World Heavyweight title dark match.
Jericho joked around about that.
Go ahead, Swag.
I will say this, and this is... Lindsay's partially right in saying what she said about, you know, they could walk in the back and say, top this. But... Look, if you look at the arena perspective, and yes, I know we're talking about WrestleMania, most of the venue, I will say probably a good quarter of the crowd doesn't usually get into their seats. They may be in the venue, but they don't get to their seats because they're either going through concession lines or doing whatever until the second match.
Oh, I can refute that.
Go ahead.
I can refute that. Sorry.
So, having your world title match first doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I could see them going on second or third, but they're going to do something. They're going to put something like the tag titles or even the IC match with Rhodes and Show on first, as opposed to putting your world title match on first, simply because, you know, one, the crowd's not all there, and two, that's really not a match you put first on that card.
Counterpoint, Lindsay?
I was at WrestleMania last year, and I will agree with Spug to a certain extent. For the dark match, not everyone was in their seats. But by the time the show started, when The Rock came out and you had Edge versus Del Rio, every seat in that building was full. So I would have to disagree and say the fact that, you know, as far as the first match on the actual physical pay-per-view, I would bet everybody is there to see it. If it's the dark match, not so much, because it's the throwaway and nobody really gives a crap.
Dark matches aren't always throwaways.
But it's not what you're coming to see.
Yeah.
No, but to say that I'm just offering the point that not all dark matches are throwaways. I will say this, though. I did forget that they made Del Rio Edge the technical first match last year at Mania, which bothered me last year, too. And that was the world title.
Right. Before we go to break in a second, Daniel Bryan on the WWE's version of his Facebook came out with a list of things that AJ could do to make herself a better diva. It started with one, be taller. Not sure how. How about trading those Chuck Taylors for a nice pair of heels? Number two, adopt a strict vegan lifestyle to stay mentally and physically fit. Maybe if you stop eating eggs, you'll stop walking on eggshells all the time. Number three, highlight your beauty through silence. Be seen, but not heard. Number four, focus on inspiring others as a role model, exhibiting real beauty on the inside and outside, like me. How about trading...
Hold on a sec, Brock.
Okay.
Because I don't watch SmackDown that often. Did those two, like, split or something?
No, they're together. He's giving her tips on how to improve. But he's, you know, kind of... You know, he's acting rude towards her, like we saw on Monday.
So it's going to end up being they're going to split him up.
Most likely at some point, yes.
Okay.
All right. Five more to go. Here we go. Number five. How about trading in those skulls you wear on your clothes for the butterfly of the Divas title? Number six. Remember that quote-unquote gamer really means quote-unquote loser couch potato. Number seven. Only champions have enough discipline to not get fat from eating vegan animal crackers. Please stop asking me to share and buy a second box. Number eight. Just consider that Pokemon is a silly children's game and will prevent people from taking you seriously. And number nine. To create a constant glow, fill yourself with the blissful reality that you are dating the world heavyweight champion.
He disrespects Pokemon. He needs to die.
Those are actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I know. So, they were on the Daniel Bryan version of Facebook.
I will agree with number nine that, you know, she could at least act like she's dating him, whereas they just kind of stand there and, you know, it's like, oh yeah, we're dating. It's the most non-romantic, non-PDA dating relationship I think I've ever seen in my life. I'm waiting for them to say it's platonic, honestly.
Where they were in their box is where our seats were above them and the nosebleeds, like way towards the back.
Mm-hmm.
And there are the private, they're not necessarily private because you can like see through them, but where all the doors are to go into the suites, there's like a glass kind of like partition.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see the hallway, you can see who's walking in the hallway. You can talk to them through the glass, but whatever. Like, watching them walk, I caught them walking. They're, like, the most standoffish people. She was walking a good 20 feet ahead of him.
Nice.
A good 20 feet ahead of him. And, like, he's walking, and people are yelling the yes thing at him, and people are whistling at her, and she's just, like, looking at the ground and has the scowl on her face. Like, she'd rather be getting an enema than being right there at the time.
Oh, man. So, anyway, on that note, we're going to be losing Alan Wojcik, but, Alan, what are you doing on this Tuesday night?
KFAB Wrestling Radio gets to go to Dragon Gate USA. They've got a big weekend. They've got a big weekend, the same weekend of WrestleMania. We talked ROH with Rob Feinstein. We may get some ROH in, maybe some ECW too, because Gabe Sapolsky will join us. And we talked with Matt Hardy this past week, met him Friday and had a blast at MCW. His opponent at Northeast Wrestling's WrestleFest 16, Matt Taven, the birthday boy, on Tuesday will join us. And don't forget, following week is our WrestleMania stuff, and then come April, the month of Extreme, thanks to the folks at Extreme Reunion, and already announced we've already got locked down the franchise. Shane Douglas and Tony Mamaluke will join us in that stuff. So hope everybody enjoys the rest of Wrestle Talk Radio, because I won't be. I'll be sleeping.
Go to bed, Alan Wojcik. Anyway, this is WTR Sunday Night. On the other side of the break, we'll get into a roundtable and some great debate. This is WTR Sunday Night, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Break your hearts and ties. The land will break and the seas will rise. The wind will rage and it burns the sky. All your beliefs will be broken and torn. On your final day, when I'll end it all.
Previously on Just Another Goddamn Russian Show.
Alright.
But apparently it's going to be a very special musical episode. This is going to be like the Dr. Horrible sing-along blog. Of
you know, one week we might actually do that. I should have picked that as my topic thing.
Oh, shoot.
Everybody sings? Fuck you.
You have to find your own news brief and write a song about it.
Oh, God.
Man, that's like...
I know what mine would have been. Strawberry found dead in the ditch.
Nice. Well played, sir. Well played.
Just another goddamn wrestling show on Wild Talk Radio.
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night, just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw, only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are, it's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
What
is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move. I said chill.
He
you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'm Sir Rocket, joined by May Spug and Lindsay Ward of The Rack, which you can hear every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. Right now, we're getting to a little bit of, you know, Omega's favorite clip, the Roundtable.
This would be the Roundtable. Anthony Dancy Roundtable with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
You love to pick on him, don't you?
Yes, I do. The question.
By the way, should we give him a shout out tonight since he's not here and Mace is?
Yes, let's give Omega a shout out.
Hi, Omega.
It's not like.
Sorry, you're not here for your inappropriate question.
I know it was a little bit of a doozy.
It's okay. We'll just save it for next week.
As always, next week.
I know. Trust me. I know. Anyway. Tonight's roundtable question is, has WWE brought The Rock back, quote-unquote, down to earth so that he's more on Cena's level? And if so, did WWE make this mistake by bringing The Rock down to earth rather than raising Cena to Rock's level? Throw it out to anyone who wants to go first.
No.
No?
No. They didn't. WWE didn't bring The Rock down to Cena's level. The Rock, the Cena's already on The Rock's level. He is. You look at the requests that they get outside of the ring for appearances, and not just Make-A-Wish, but actual appearances. You know, they call The Miz the most must-see champion. John Cena has done far more appearances than Miz would ever dream of doing. The Rock and John Cena in a popularity sense are on the exact same level. What has happened to Dwayne Johnson is he forgot what it was to be a wrestler. He forgot that the reason that people fell in love with him in the first place was his ability to ad-lib and put his own personality and stamp on the situation. He's been reading from script after script after script after script after script for so long that I think he's lost the art of how to do it. And it's just been caught on camera on numerous occasions. And his downfall is his own, not anything he's been booked into.
Mace, Lindsay, either one of you have a take?
I think they've kind of sort of evened them out. I would have to agree that they are on the same level, but even on that same level, they're at different heights on it. I mean, when they were showing Rock in those promos, one of the comments I was talking about was when you saw The Rock and you saw Cena and you compare the two together, Cena was much more human. He was much more interactive with the fans. He was more friendly. He was more easy to relate to, whereas in The Rock, he was always in limos, or he was always distant from the fans. He was always doing something else, more movie star type, so he was kind of more of a unapproachable in a way. So I think they've tried to humanize The Rock and make him more approachable and less of a movie star, but they've also brought Cena up a little bit in the way that he's cutting his promos, in the way that he's acting. So it's just, I think they've definitely changed the roles a little bit and they've balanced them out better, but I don't think they've brought Rock down a level.
Mace?
Well, I'm still drawing the comment that, like, in what way have they brought The Rock down to earth? He's still the same arrogant, you know, better than the business piece of shit that he's been for the last few years. The only thing they've done is turn around to Cena and go, oh, look, we found the key to the padlock. We're going to take you off the train for a bit.
Bringing him down to earth, meaning he's not the untouchable character he once was.
Bullshit. He is still that same untouchable character that he was.
even though Cena's taking shot after shot after shot at him.
Yeah. Because it's playing it off like it's nothing to The Rock. The Rock is going to...
Yeah,
they're playing it off like The Rock's just going to walk through Cena at WrestleMania. He's no challenge.
Rock has trivialized everything that Cena has said. And yeah. I will give Mace this. I will definitely agree with him on that. If you listen to the verbal barbs between Triple H and Undertaker or CM Punk and Jericho, the verbal barbs between them, the way those promos were cut, each one reacted to the others and reacted with real raw emotion or the perceived real raw emotion. Rock and Cena have been throwing verbal barbs back and forth, and the only time that Rock really looked shaken, was the week that he got caught with the promo on his arm, and the following week in Boston, when Cena did the empty arena promo and then the one at the end of Raw, where he just lambasted The Rock. John Cena, on every level, has won the promo battle because John Cena has put real, true, raw emotion into it. And Rock, Mace said this last year, and I've agreed with him, this isn't The Rock that we all fell in love with back in the 90s. This is Dwayne Johnson playing the part of The Rock. And it shows.
Plus, you take a look at the difference in styles. Cena has been going after Dwayne Johnson. He's been going after the man who walked away from the WWE. The Rock, on the other hand, has been going after John Cena, the character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the merchandise, the fact that people are sick of the same old Super Cena shit. You know, he's gone after the character instead of going after the man.
So is that The Rock's biggest mistake?
Yes.
Okay, you're the booker. How would you attack John Cena, the man, if you're The Rock? Putting you in The Rock's shoes, the shoes you don't want to be in. But you say you're The Rock.
You drop the catchphrases. You drop the little British promos. You drop all the kiddie bullshit that's been done up until this point. And you
can
let...
Can we drop the 9 million names for his penis?
Yes. For the love of God, let's do that. You know... Let's drop away the Rock facade.
Uh-huh.
Let's get back to the guy that you saw back in the days of Die Rocky Die. Guy who wanted nothing more than to destroy every fan favorite out there because guess what? They were getting in the way of his popularity. That's all Cena really is. He's just one of these guys that's going to be compared to The Rock in terms of popularity. He is one of the very few guys over the last few years, in the last 10 years, that has been able to obtain the same type of status as The Rock.
I will say this
now, instead of being funny, let him be angry. He did one promo where he wanted to... Say, you know, you strip away all the shit. I'm 6'4", 260-odd pounds of guy who will rip your throat out. That's what I want to see. Not fucking comedy promos and 9,000 names for his penis.
To your point, Mace, I want the guy who looked at Stone Cold Steve Austin dead in the eye backstage and 100% shoot told him that he was coming to take his spot.
Yeah, exactly.
I want that guy.
That's exactly what I'm after as well.
Do you agree with them, Lindsay?
I would agree with that. I would also, you know, I agree. And I would say maybe go after Cena personally a little bit, but there's not a whole lot that you can do other than the wife comment that he made on Monday, but that's about it. I mean, yeah, I'm over the catchphrases. I'm over him trying to be The Rock when he's not because he's not. I mean, let's be realistic. And I'm over it. You know, it's like, just drop the shit, drop the what you're trying to do, and just be yourself, man, because that's ultimately what you were back in the 90s. You were yourself with the volume turned up to a million. Be that. Don't try to be Dwayne Johnson playing the part of The Rock, because it's not working. Just be The Rock, dude.
Sorry to cut. I didn't mean to cut you off, Mace. Sorry. Continue what your point was.
Look, I'd love to see The Rock come out on Monday night and go, you know what, Cena, stop trying to be me. We've seen you go into the movie business with your little marine, you know, and your little movies. You want to be me. You can't be me. And that's why you can't beat me, because I am me. You are you. You are nothing to me. And just rip the living shit out of him.
But don't you think that kind of goes along the same vein as what Rock's done already? I think if you're gonna really cut a promo on John Cena,
you do it without all this comedy bullshit. Get to the heart of the matter. Be straight shooting with it.
Yeah, but here's where you and I separate, Mason. I'm not gonna say it's a disagreement. This is where our thoughts separate. Is that I think you can attack Cena for the choices that he's made without making it sound like the same old drivel that we've heard from The Rock for the past 4 weeks. I think you can attack Cena in the way of The Rock can look at him and say, I had the balls to tell Vince McMahon what I was going to do. Yet, look at you. You're a Hulk Hogan wannabe. You know, you can call out John Cena on his manhood and his choices without making it sound like the same old BS. Because if The Rock really wanted to, he could verbally rip apart John Cena. If he really, really got back to the core of what he was when he was a wrestler full time.
You mean the passion and the fire that he used to have?
That's part of it. I'm going to go to the truck. That's part of it. I think the other thing he's missing is the passion, yes. I would say the passion, yes. The other thing I think he's really, really, really missing is being the sense of community backstage. In that locker room, you know, we all know what we're there for, right? We all know why we're there. And I think with Rock being a movie star and being isolated from the fan base and from the boys backstage, The Rock has lost a lot of that. A lot of it. And I think that honestly he needs to stop chartering private jets and fly with the boys and ride with the boys and maybe get a little bit of that back before WrestleMania. And you might actually see a pretty entertaining match.
Very true, but at the same time, you know, it seems that they want to keep this distance between The Rock and not only like John Cena, but also the boys in the back as well, just to amp it up and make it seem as real as possible that these guys really hate the living shit out of each other. And you might not get a match at WrestleMania, you might get a goddamn brawl.
I think that John Cena and The Rock do have some legitimate personal heat, though. I will say that, and I think there are some of the boys that have heat with The Rock too, because of the way he's acted. So, I mean, the cool thing about my position and people that I know is that they know people who are within the WWE system and hear plenty of things, and from what I've heard and talked to people, there's no shortage of heat with The Rock for the way that he's acted since he's come back.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just putting an emphasis on there.
I would have to agree that there's heat on The Rock, but if it's between Cena and Rock, it really hasn't shown through at least all that well. And I think that's something that they could have done a little bit better, is just build the heat on it and take it to that more serious level, because you saw Cena step up and go more serious.
I want to ask you this, Lindsay, because I'm really interested. I'm really interested in what you have to say about this. From your perspective, how have they not shown legitimate heat between Rock and Cena?
There hasn't been a passion. There hasn't been a fire. It's not, I want to beat you up. It's, I'm going to cut a witty promo on you instead. It's just, you don't get that impression. It may be there. I'm not saying it's not there. It's just you don't, at least from a fan perspective, looking at it, you don't get that feeling. It's like the first time when The Rock said, I'm 6 foot whatever to whatever and I'm going to rip your throat out. That's the first time that you got really any real, threat looking back on it. The rest of it has all been, dick jokes and mom jokes and vagina jokes and everything else. That was the first time The Rock really got serious. And you saw Cena starting to get serious. And when Cena got serious, that was an indication of, okay, maybe something new is going on here, but The Rock didn't. And it's like, whenever one gets serious, the other one goes comedy, and then vice versa. It's like, if we could get them serious at the same time in the same promo, I think it could be something really good. But just with one doing comedy, one doing serious, it just, for me, it doesn't work. It feels like they're trying to do it, they're trying to get the emotion, but they just don't have it.
I will say this from my perspective. Cena has been serious in this from the beginning. If you listen to his first promo that he cut on The Rock over a year ago, or almost a year ago, he really kind of laid into The Rock then. And then you flash forward to the week John Cena cut the promo at the end of Raw before Rock showed up for the build, the Mania, the following week. John Cena's promos have always been filled with emotion and very serious. They've been witty, and they've had comedic retorts, but they're not the, as Kevin Steen affectionately called them, the jujitsu jack-off promos that The Rock has been cutting. John Cena doesn't need a million dick references and 4,000 catchphrases and 3,200 hashtags to cut a promo. And I think what really has pulled out some of the genuine feeling from the angle and from the match buildup is the way that The Rock's gone about it. For me, anyway.
Yeah, see, maybe I'm just not seeing it, but it's like I look at, it's like you look at Punk Jericho this past week. You look at the Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels promos building, starting at the Rumble, and going forward. You look at those, and I would agree Cena has been serious to a point with the comedic retorts, but he's just really gotten serious in the last couple weeks. You look at the promos that started after the Rumble and the emotion and everything that's there, and you know that in some ways there may not be legitimate heat, there may be. You just, being on the outside and looking in, you don't know, but you just have to rely on what they're telling you. You look at those matches, and it's like there's more emotion there than there is in Rock and Cena. And that's...
No, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Within the last few weeks, Cena has gotten more and more serious, and with the empty arena promo, that helped put it on a higher level for him, but still for Rock, it's just like, it's another match, it's another day, and maybe that's what they're trying to sell it as. But to him, it doesn't seem to matter. It's like, I'm just here because I'm here, and then I'm going to leave again, and fuck you. That's what it feels like.
I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to hand it over to Mace, because I hope Mace has got my back on this at this point a little bit. The heat between John Cena and The Rock is real. And we know this because of interviews each one has given. Not on WWE, but in other print media and areas. We know that the heat between them is real. The level of heat, we don't know, but we do know that the heat between them is real. The second thing I will say is part of the feeling, and you're not the only one that I've heard say this, is that that it feels like it's just another match, and I've said this too, is because from the beginning, the WWE fumbled the build-up on this. Really did. So, that is a legitimate concern. However, where you and I disagree and secede from one another is in the fact that if you sit down and listen to what John Cena has to say and listen to what he has said, I will say again, yes, there have been comedic retorts and witty barbs, but the bulk message of his promos has always been, I'm here. I'm not leaving. This is my life. These people are what I live for. You said that once, and you lied. And that's been John Cena's message. He, to reiterate what Mace said, from the beginning, he has attacked Dwayne Johnson, the person.
Right.
And by all accounts, Dwayne Johnson, the person, is a douche. So I have no problem with that. And my final point I will make that is somehow evading me, which fucking pisses me off. I had it, and it was on the tip of my tongue, and then I forgot it. So I'll just throw it to Mace and hope that it comes back to me at some point.
Well, to be honest, there's not really much else we can say here. We've pretty much covered it from every possible angle. You know, we've had fan perspective, we've had booker's perspective, we've had, you know, wrestler, you know, the only type of thing we haven't got is what a 3-year-old child thinks, and unfortunately Tim isn't here to give us that opinion.
Oh!
Wow.
That was a shot.
Ooh. I just wanted to be known. I didn't say that.
Not it.
The opinions of Mace do not reflect those of anyone else here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Except for me. You and I usually have the same.
Yeah, true.
But in that case, that wasn't me.
I think we've talked this topic to death. Let's move on to the great debate, shall we?
Yay!
The bell has sounded for this week's great debate.
For the last few weeks, I come out here and I sit here and listen to you spend your little nursery rhymes about Jabroni Avenue or Know Your Role Boulevard. You better get your ass serious, because Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to take his ass to Philadelphia, check right in to the SmackDown Hotel, roll right in to Route 316, and burn that son of a bitch to the ground.
You know, the crowd just came from the bathroom. You should have smelled what The Rock was cooking. I ain't faking. You should have smelled what The Rock was baking.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
We've made it to round number 3. Shocking.
Yay.
And how long is it going to take us to do round 3?
Not
6 months?
Not
long.
God.
Not long at all.
I have to apologize to anyone who has been interested in this. My original intent was not for this thing to carry out since fucking October.
It's all good. We're good. We don't have that many matches left. Trust me.
I think we're celebrating the 1-year anniversary of when we started this soon.
No, that's NXT. Remember that. That's NXT. Anyway, good morning, Omega.
Just so everyone knows, real bad idea to watch TNA pay-per-view on 4 hours sleep.
You want
guaranteed,
TNA?
Guaranteed knockout.
I will say this. Mace and I were talking on Skype. You guys watched the TNA pay-per-view. I watched a 3-hour documentary on Auschwitz and Nazis. I think I won.
But they weren't trending on Twitter.
At least his was more
entertaining and educational.
True. Anyway, let's start off the great debate.
From the right viewpoint, it was less cruel.
Anyway.
Omega. I really want to give you a hug right now for having to censor that pay-per-view.
Anyway, it's going to be Raven versus CM Punk taking on Steve Austin versus The Rock. And we'll start with Spug.
That's not fair. That's not fair at all. I have to vote for CM Punk and for Austin and The Rock because of the sheer magnitude of the feud. Mm-hmm. But I will caveat this by saying, if CM Punk and Raven were up against anybody else, I think, for the most part, in this little one-year tournament that we've had going on, I think they would win. Because that feud really was, at its core, a personal feud between CM Punk and Raven. Those two pulled out a lot of the stops, and if I have both of the Best of Punk DVDs from ROH, and a good chunk of those two DVDs are Punk and Raven matches. And they're very good, they're very entertaining, and they're very psychological. And I think that really sold that feud. Unfortunately, they're up against Rock and Austin, and those two names are just gargantuan in the business, and I have to pick them on the sheer magnitude of that feud, which is unfortunate for Punk and Raven, but that's how it goes sometimes.
Lindsay.
I'm going to have to agree, Austin Rock, all the way.
Simple enough. Omega?
Can I go back to bed?
Yes.
No, you can't go back to bed.
Yeah, you gotta make it 3-0. My apologies to the Raven and CM Punk feud, but you're up against Titan here. Sometimes it's just a bad draw.
Yeah, they lucked out on the draw. They didn't luck out on this draw.
No.
Mace, to close it out.
I'm going to give it to the Ultimate Warrior because my pick just doesn't seem to mean anything now, sir.
It was rigged. It's a sham.
You know what the fucking difference between the two is? Austin and The Rock was done in the WWE fucking E. It was done on the quote-unquote biggest stage. Who gives a shit?
Didn't Raven
Punk was the better feud, story-wise, wrestling-wise, 10 times better than Rock and Austin. The only difference here is you got two bigger names on a bigger stage. That's all it is.
Okay.
So you know what? Warrior wins. This is fucking rigged. Next topic.
Mace, I could have shortened that all up for you. All you had to say was, I agree with Spug. Because I just said all of that, Holmes. I agree with you. Raven Punk was a much better feud. Austin and Rock just happened to be bigger names at the time.
Exactly, and it goes back to the Road Warrior Animal argument of, you're not an icon unless you wrestle in WWE, Sting.
Which was crap.
So anyway.
Now I want to give Mace a hug.
It's okay. Sorry, Mace. Ravens, CM Punk, do not move on. Austin and Rock, do.
Fuck you all.
Up next, because Mace is going to go first in this pick, Kane and The Undertaker taking on Austin versus McMahon. Mace?
Austin versus McMahon, because it seemed like a much more personal feud at the time, and it was what defined the Attitude Era. That, and because I know somewhere, sitting out there, Jackie is now crying.
Lindsay.
Gee, I wonder.
I hate you all. Fuck you all. I have to say this. As much as I want to pick...
Keep your virtual area!
As much as I want to pick Kane and The Undertaker for personal reasons, I have to concede Austin McMahon was the bigger feud. The better
feud.
Would
you stop and vote with your vagina and not your brain on this one?
No! Deal with it.
What's Buzz doing?
I know. But Austin McMahon was the bigger feud. It defined an era. It defined so many other things. And, yeah, I have to go Austin with McMahon, and that is extremely painful to say, and I will go cry with Jackie now.
How do those words taste coming out of your mouth?
Pretty shitty.
Omega.
Luckily, I have no such problems.
You don't have a vagina?
Not on me.
Fair enough.
Let's see. Yeah, it's got to be Austin McMahon. That's the feud that got people tuning into the Attitude Era, because, as it's been said many times, we've all wanted to do that to our boss at some point. It's kind of the working man's feud where everyone could kind of relate to it and just wish, I wish I could fill my boss's Corvette with cement.
But I tell Tim off all the time. Wait, no.
Yeah, but Tim's not a real boss.
True.
Oh, Jesus Christ, mate!
He's right, a boss has authority.
Oh!
It also pays the employees.
Y'all are vicious to... Jeez!
Wow. I just sit through a pay-per-view that knocked me out.
That
I'm fucking surly.
Well, you know what? It's snowing here.
It's 72 degrees here in Cleveland.
Yeah, fuck you all.
Yeah.
It's 30 and snowing.
It's a nice sunny day here in Australia.
I'm in Florida. What is this snow you speak of?
I'll get you a picture and send it to you.
I'm going to vote for Austin and McMahon, and not for the reasons that everybody has already listed, but because that was the feud that saved the WWE. If the Austin McMahon feud doesn't happen, two things I think do happen. One, Austin doesn't become what he eventually became in the wrestling business. Two, I think WWE folds. I think without Austin and McMahon, I think WWE folds eventually or becomes a much lesser product than it is now.
But that being said, WCW would also fold in 2001 due to the changeover. And we wouldn't have wrestling on our televisions anymore.
No, I think we would have wrestling, but it would be much different.
We would still have TNA.
Oh, good lord.
I'd rather let it die.
So, Austin and McMahon, move on in the great debate. Up next week will be DX versus The Nation taking on Terry Funk and McFoley, and Chris Jericho versus Dean Malenko taking on Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe.
Hold 749, Japanese armbar.
And now it's time for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
Spug is going to play the part of Alan Wojcik tonight, since I know Spug was doing a show, and Alan fucked off to watch YouTube videos. So, Spug, as Alan Wojcik, what will be next year's WrestleMania main event?
I don't know, but I'll give some monotone.
cut out.
We've lost Ben Stein.
The monotone killed his phone.
I'm going to give some monotone answer with some kind of smarmy, snarky comment that makes me seem cooler and smarkier than everybody here. So I'll just say next year's WrestleMania event, main event's probably going to be like Kane versus Santino Marella, because we all like that. Yeah.
Mace, what is the greatest wrestling catchphrase?
You're welcome.
What's the greatest wrestling catchphrase, Mace?
Greatest wrestling catchphrase. Mm-hmm. Hold number one, armbar.
Armbar!
No, it would have to be something along the lines of, like, I am the best in the world at what I do. I am the best in the business. The best there is, the best there was. One of those type of, that type of catchphrase where it was the guy always putting themselves over as the best. Because a lot of the time, the guys that would do that could back it up in the ring. You know, Bret Hart did it.
I'm rock and roller.
Yeah, Jericho does it, Punk does it, Bret Hart's done it. There's probably about 450 guys that only Alan Wojcik can name that have done it.
God, he is full of piss and vinegar tonight.
It's not a shot. The man's a wealth of knowledge.
Exactly. I'm paying him a compliment.
They put the muzzle on me and took it off of me.
Well, it's only because they've got the one muzzle.
We're cheap. True. Remember, we're cheap. Can only afford one muzzle.
We have to alternate.
Exactly. Lindsay, what is one thing Dolph Ziggler needs to improve on to become a true main event player?
Get the fuck rid of the ass tape.
You can't say he's fucking look.
No, get rid of the ass tape. Seriously, dude. Get rid of it.
But it's selling t-shirts.
I understand it's selling t-shirts, and I'm sure that will get him faster to the main event than anything else, but it's stupid!
It's genius,
That's
though.
That's why he does it, because people hate it!
It's
He's
genius, though, because the kid has to, like, you take your kid to the arena, and he wants a Dolph Ziggler shirt, he needs one to actually wear, and then one to stuff down the back of his pants. So the man's selling twice as much merchandise.
So he should be in the main event after WrestleMania.
Pretty much.
By the way, I am so glad I bought my Dolph Ziggler shirt before they changed them all pink.
I would totally wear a pink one.
I know you would, you girl.
He's coming out looking like...
You wear a goddamn skirt to the ring!
It's a kilt. Don't make me kick you in the fucking nuts.
This is where I go.
Excuse me!
And Tim would like to chime in for Mace's question. If you don't like it, learn to love it. Why? Because I'm still the best thing going today. That's the best quote. Okay,
and you know what, Tim? If your internet is that good to send a message, you're good enough to be on the show. If you can't be on the show, shut the fuck up.
He just got home from being with Owen. Give him a break.
And Mace, I will say this. You can question my ring attire when you're not an Aussie trying to come up with a Spanish ring name.
Anyway, moving on.
At least I come up with something original sounding, Mr. Anderson.
Anderson.
Bang, bang, motherfucker. Bang, bang.
Okay, Omega, what do you think the best part of being a leprechaun is?
Being magically vicious.
The Lucky Charms, of course.
Oh, jeez.
Eight delicious marshmallows.
Now that the funny answers are taken.
You're welcome.
Hmm.
You'd be the only thing green that hasn't been in Leader's Box?
So, Omega?
I should have stayed in bed. Yeah, May's up here. I'm out one night. He starts stealing my entire shtick.
Hashtag gimmick infringement.
Now, what are you kidding? The best part is the pot of gold. Everyone knows this.
Awful answer, sir. We all know it's made out of chocolate. Move on.
Even better! I can't go into Walmart and spend gold doubloons, but you know what? If I can unwrap some chocolate, I'm happy.
Actually, you can in Utah. Just saying.
Back to Spug playing.
As soon as I catch a leprechaun, I'll be up there.
Okay.
Back to Spug playing Alan, because, you know, I had to do this one. What is your favorite movie quote?
Oh, God. Fuck me. Sincerely, I think my favorite movie quote has to be from the original Crow movie, where Brandon Lee was facing off against Top Dollar, who's the main bad guy, at the meeting of all, like, the gangsters in Detroit. And he says, Top Dollar said something to the effect of, no, it was when he met the cop. The cop said something to him of, says, shoot or you're dead. They're moving, you're dead. And Brandon Lee looks at him and holds up his hand and says, well, I say I'm dead, and I move, and then runs off. And the facial expressions and the whole scene really kind of played that quote up. That or Vincent D'Onofrio from Full Metal Jacket. The scene where he goes nuts.
Okay. Maze, what two wrestlers on the WWE roster would make the perfect couple?
Two wrestlers that would make the perfect couple. You know what? As much as this is probably a really bad joke tied to it, it'd be Kane and Kelly Kelly.
Ah!
She does kind of look like Kane.
I'm done.
Well, Kane's already bringing the fire.
Oh. Hey, if she can't take her bra off, Kane can burn it off.
Staying with the Kane fan, Lindsay, if Kane and CM Punk were to become a tag team, their tag team name would be what?
Embrace the Pepsi?
Explosive ovaries.
Explosive.
Please tell me I'm not the only one who saw that sign.
Ovaries of fire.
Oh, Jesus.
Not Kane and Eve, Kane and Punk, Kane Kittens.
Kane and Eve wouldn't happen because Jackie and I would take her out before it ever got anywhere. Just saying.
I think that's
fine. While you're taking Eve out, that's when Kelly Kelly makes a move.
No, we'll take her out as well. We'll take the entire Deep's roster out. Except for Beth and Abby.
I think Tamina'd probably whoop your ass. I'm just saying.
Kong might have issues.
Probably.
You don't mess with the Samoans.
No, because they got nasty tempers.
She's not Samoan. She's from Fiji. Same general area.
Anyway, Omega.
I'm last, aren't I?
Yes.
Fuck.
If Trish Stratus came to you and said she had some sort of fetish where she likes dressing up in costumes, but just a specific type of costume, would you dress up as a Transformer to get some action with Trish Stratus?
Are you kidding me?
I had no part in this.
He dressed up as a Transformer anyway.
Yeah, number one, how do you know my weekend clothes? And number two, fuck yes!
But what if someone wanted to dress you up like a Ken doll? Because remember, she does collect Barbies.
It'd have to be one of the well. No,
she wanted Omega to be Black Ken.
It would have to be one of the older Ken dolls that is not a eunuch.
All the Kens were a eunuch. I don't remember any of them that had any sort of phallus at all.
They used to be a little bit more anatomically correct. At the very least, they bulged.
During the 80s, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, this is when the toy first came out, and then they realized it was a stupid idea.
So there you have it for this week's edition.
God, what a question.
I know.
I had nothing to do with that. I'm just claiming my innocence now.
She could dress me up like a Smurf and pretend I'm from Avatar, and I'd still be down for it.
Oh my God, clip that. Please clip that.
Yeah, clip the comment where, I'd do anything to bone for Stratus. Because I'm so ashamed of that.
Well, you got that question because I forgot the questions me and Lindsay were talking about the other night. So you lucked out. You lucked out.
Thing is, if she had a Transformer, she had a Transformer fetish, she'd explode coming into my room.
Oh my goodness.
I know he's sitting there now with this big ass smile on his face.
Yeah, until he created John Cube.
And until Omega realizes that he's just screwed up his own storylines. Anyway.
With that said, Tuesday night it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, as Alan Wojcik mentioned. Matt Taven and Gabe Sapolsky will be on the program. You can hear it at 9 p.m. Eastern. Live this Tuesday night. Wednesday night is just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and the Cheap Wood paneling. Hopefully Scott Barry is back this week on the program, and they'll probably get another weird caller. Thursday night, Lindsay and Jackie do the rack.
Yes, we do. And I have no idea if we have a guest yet or not, but come listen 11 p.m. Eastern right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
No guest this week, most likely the 29th.
Worse for me.
Whatever.
How'd your interview with DDB go?
It's been pushed back 2 weeks. He was sick last Thursday.
Ah.
So we're hoping to have him on the Thursday before WrestleMania. That's what his people say. So that's what we're working with. Saturday night, midnight-ish, at CB Radio, where I dropped the pipe bomb on some moron. Just saying.
Tune in. You're not going to want to miss that.
No, you're not. It's going to be epic. 15-minute rant, guaranteed. With that said, on next Sunday night, it's WrestleTalk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully, maybe Tim will be back and posting the show instead of me. Maybe. And on tomorrow night, Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Anyone else have something they would like to plug?
No.
If you haven't done so already, go to, I think it's Kickstarter.com. Take a look at their video section and definitely put in a backing support for Nigel McGuinness's documentary on his farewell tour. So go pledge money, help him make his documentary a reality.
I believe he's reached his goal. for the money, but he's looking for more. So continue to donate. Pay attention to wildtalkradio.com. There should be another edition of the Sea Show coming out soon. Probably. I have no idea what the topic's going to be, but there'll be another article out soon.
Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Spug_guy, Alan Wojcik. Get it right. It's at the Mace Thing. It's at Lynn's Ward. It's at TJ Omega. You can watch Omega on YouTube at TJ Omega and at tjomega.blogspot.com.
Very good.
I know. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
Now mention Twitter about 800 more times and you've got a TNA pay-per-view.
I know, trending worldwide. Spug Guy has hung up. For that, for Spug, for Mace, for Omega, and for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sirach. We'll see you next week on Wrestle Talk Radio. Good night.
Come.